You're listening to Back to the Light with J.D. Rieger, Tradition. Hey everybody, welcome to yet another episode of Back to the Light. I am J.D. Rieger, and I'm back in sweet home Chicago for the next few weeks, trying to readjust to the slower pace of my life here. This week on the show, my guests are Michaela and Will from the Memphis band Rosie. The new Rosie album, I'd Move House If My House Moved Like Yours, is available now at yesorrosie.bandcamp.com. That's YESORROSEY, yesorrosie.bandcamp.com, or on Spotify and everywhere music gets streamed, I assure you. A bit later, they're going to perform live in the studio, and we'll hear something from the record. But first things first, here's my conversation with Michaela Forrest and Will Forrest from Rosie. All right. Well, Michaela, thank you so much for joining me in the studio.
Yeah, thank you.
I was excited to talk to you both because we've crossed paths musically a few times, but never really gotten to know each other.
Yeah.
I'll probably ask you both this. Are you from Memphis originally?
Yeah. I'm born and raised.
How did you get started playing music, being interested in music?
Honestly, I started out with writing poetry. I loved writing poetry when I was in high school, and I was always in like chorus and theater and stuff. And once I graduated high school, I started going to open mic night at Java Cabana, and I would read poetry, and occasionally I would sing like a cover song, and people would be like, "You can sing and you can write. Why not put these skills together?" And eventually I started writing my own songs, and I did solo for like a really long time. I think you actually reviewed like the first album that I ever put out. Like,
I hope I gave it a good review.
No, it was positive.
Okay. Thank you.
It definitely,
thank you.
It kept the momentum going for sure. It made me feel really good. But yeah, I did solo for a really, really long time. And finally, like a few years ago, put a band together that seems to work out. Seems like it's going to stick around.
Yeah, you played around for several years under your single name.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any difficulty for you in giving up complete control of the project?
Not really. It's kind of nice. It is a little weird now, as far as like the actual songwriting goes, because I do feel like we have fallen into such a comfortable space of writing songs together that like I just recently actually kind of started writing a song by myself for the first time in like a few years, whereas like before I wrote all my own songs. So it is a little weird. It's one of those things where it's like Rosie can't ever stop now, because I don't think I could go back to writing songs by myself again, or it would take a long time to get used to it.
Do you enjoy getting the input of the rest of the group and Will?
Yeah, absolutely. It helps so much, just being able to bounce ideas off of other people. Like I'm not a huge collaborator, I guess. I kind of just, for the most part, I just kind of stay quiet and like let the three of them, like Will and Daniel, do most of the songwriting between the three of them, because they're just like, they work so well together. And then I'll just like write the words and sing the song. But I really like being part of a band. It's a lot less pressure than just being by yourself.
Do you see yourself asserting yourself more musically in the band moving forward?
I don't know. I kind of like where I'm at, but it is like kind of like I said before, where it's like I feel like I have maybe kind of lost a little bit of that talent that I used to have of just sitting down and kind of picking out a song and writing it on my own. But that's like that's a me thing. That's just kind of, I've gotten really comfortable just being able to depend on other people, you know? So maybe it would be nice to kind of get to a point where I can kind of just step out and share my ideas and assert myself a little bit more.
Which came first for you guys, like the artistic attraction or the romantic attraction?
Definitely the romantic attraction. When we first started dating, we met a long time ago. I used to run a house venue, and his band would come and play at my house like pretty often. They were like kind of our house band for a long time, but we never really like got to know each other back then. And then like 10 years later, we ran into each other at the P&H, and he asked me if I'd want to hang out sometime, and we went out once and then just like never stopped being around each other after that. And I swore when we started seeing each other that we would not start a musical project together. I was like, I'm never gonna be, because I've been in bands and musical projects with partners in the past, and it's just never been a good situation in the long run. So I was like, I'm not gonna start it. We're like, we're not gonna do anything. I'm not even gonna like play my songs for you. And then, I mean, how can you not? Like, how can you not? So, but it's going pretty well. So it's good.
I've been in a couple of different bands with partners or partnered people, and it's an interesting dynamic that can develop when like the band and personal stuff crosses over. What makes you guys so successful at it?
We try to kind of separate, I mean, we can't like fully separate our relationship from the band, obviously, because like part of the reason that we do work so well together is because we are so compatible. But like when we are performing or recording, like we're not, I don't know. I feel like saying that we separate our relationship from the band it sounds kind of like a negative way to say it, but that's the best way that I can think of. It's like we use that compatibility to write songs, and we also just get along really well. So like, I don't know, like that's always been a problem in the past with partners, is like you're fighting with each other and then you bring that into the practice space, or you bring that energy into the show. But we don't really fight or anything. So we're just kind of lucky that we're both just pretty mellow and we just really get along very well. It's just a super fortunate situation.
How long have you been together versus how long has the band been together?
We've been together for about 4.5 years, I think. 4 years in August. And the band, we honestly started the band pretty quickly, like within the first year that we were together. So I think Rosie has been together for maybe 4 years. So yeah, it was pretty quick.
A lot of artists have been sort of derailed by the pandemic. Why do you think you guys have not been?
It's hard to say. I mean, we kind of have been, honestly. I mean, just because we haven't been able to see each other. But I think the fact that, I mean, he and I live together, so like we've still been able to work. Like we had a couple of weeks when everything first shut down where we just had this like huge burst of creativity, and we like recorded a little like electronic album because we couldn't get the band together, and we've made a couple of music videos in our house because we couldn't go anywhere. And once that that momentum kind of slowed down, and then fortunately within that time we had booked studio space to record our full length album, so that kind of kept the ball rolling a little bit. But it's been hard. We haven't played a show in a year and a half, so to say we haven't been derailed would not be the truth. But we're slowly starting to dip our toes back in the water and try to start doing shows again now that it's maybe a little bit better.
You did have a release show canceled, right?
Yeah, unfortunately. It was like right when like the Delta variant was like here to stay. We thought we were going to be able to do it, and we had like up until like maybe the week or two before, we were still planning to do it, but things were just getting too bad, and like, I don't know, it really hurt. It really hurt to cancel that show, but it just wasn't safe. And so we ended up recording like a little fake live show at our house and putting that up on YouTube so people could watch it and just pretend.
Last question for you, I guess. is this, are you guys practicing for an eventual release show, or is it just going to be a show?
I don't know. We honestly haven't even been able to get to practice yet. He and I just moved into a new house, and we're still trying to kind of establish ourselves in the neighborhood, so we're not trying to bust out the loud jams just yet. But we did just secure a little little storage unit to practice in, so we'll be getting back to practicing in the next week or so. As far as like a release show, that would be, I don't know. I think the moment's kind of passed, but
I think it's too late.
I think it might be. I mean, it would be nice, and I think it would be kind of something that we would do, where we would throw a fake release show like a year after the album's out. But I think the moment's kind of passed. We've already got a couple of shows booked, and we really wanted the release show to be our first show back. So when we had to cancel it, I just don't really know if we'll be able to kind of pick up that magical feeling again, but maybe, I don't know.
Well, what do you have booked?
Well, our first show back is going to be a Halloween show. Actually, we have not missed a Halloween show since we started the band. We did play, it was a wedding, but I mean, it counts. It didn't really count as an official Rosie show, so I still say that we haven't played a show in a year and a half, but we did play a Jeremiah Matthews wedding last Halloween, and it was beautiful. But we are playing Halloween this year at my friend B is opening a piercing parlor on Peabody in Cleveland, and we are playing their grand opening show.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so that'll be really fun. And we've been in talks with a couple of shows with like Louise Page. We've been trying to book something with her, and Late Night Cardigan, just like our best band buddies, trying to get back to doing shows with them again because we've missed them so much. So we don't have anything else booked solid quite yet, but talks are in place for a few.
Cool. Well, here, I'll ask Will a couple questions and then you can play.
Cool.
Awesome. Actually, if you want to just switch seats, maybe that's probably the easiest thing.
Yeah, well, there's at least enough room for it. It's better than chaos in a storage unit, which is what we're about to do.
Oh, do you mind me asking, like, what unit, like, which one of the band practice storage unit places you guys are in?
It's a place on Madison and Rain, across from Drew's. It might not be Rain, one of the, I forget what it's called.
I used to have a storage space down on Front Street, I guess it was, down by the pyramid.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a bunch of bands that practice there, and then I know there's a bunch of bands that practice at that one.
Right.
Well, I know you've been in a few different bands that I've crossed paths with. Who's Army?
Yeah.
Strengths. Tell me about both of those bands.
Yeah, Who's Army, she was talking about, was the band that played at her house all the time. So that was kind of like late high school, we started that, and kind of through what should have been college years. So it's, looking back on it, it's not like stuff that I'm, I go back and listen to a lot, but it was definitely really like fun and formative at the time.
I think we played a show together with the original Cindy band
at that Odessa.
Yeah, I was trying to think of what the name of that place was.
That was an awesome show. It was Sleeping in the Aviary from somewhere. That was the touring band, and they were really good.
What about Strengths? I remember the show I remember playing with y'all was at that studio.
Right, yeah.
What was some kind of YouTube broadcast they would do or something?
Yeah, we all actually kind of worked and helped put that on generally. Me and Alyssa and Daniel, it was Rocket Science Audio. We did the...
It was before, because I kept thinking Move the Air is the name, but I knew that wasn't it. It was called Rocket Science.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we did a variety show. We always kind of called it just like a drunk AV club, because it was none of us really had a lot of experience or, in any reason to be putting it on, but we kind of got it together with duct tape and Radio Shack equipment and... We're able to host some pretty cool bands and like have some fun shows there.
Yeah, for sure. That was great to get that documented with the modifiers that night, for sure.
Oh.
And you guys were amazing. You guys kind of took us to school that night.
Ah, shoot.
We felt chumpy. What's it like? Alyssa is someone I've thought about like trying to record with, but never have. What's she like to be, you know, in a collaborative setting with?
You know, she's a good collaborator. I mean, she's definitely a perfectionist, and you know, she's a great musician and a great engineer at this point. I've kind of like, you know, watched her grow as an engineer and get really good at that. So that's been cool.
Talk to me about working in the studio. I know you guys did this last. You've done a couple of things at Young Avenue Sound, haven't you?
Yeah, we did the EP in 2019. That was like five songs, also with Calvin Lauber. And then we booked, I guess, what was it? Near the end of 2019, we booked time to record a full length. Unfortunately, we booked it for the end of April in 2020, so it got, you know, almost time to do it was right when we were like, you know, is it safe to be in a room with other people for, you know, any amount of time? So we ended up postponing it until I think November or something like that. That was kind of cool because we had time to just sit on the songs longer and, excuse me, you can kind of just think about them more and make more demos and kind of work on them a little bit harder. So I guess we were more prepared going into it, but it was still kind of like felt a little disjointed because we were, you know, had that momentum of like, we got the date booked, we're getting ready to do it. And then all of a sudden, a couple weeks before, like, we got to wait indefinitely to do it. So
yeah, that's got to be a huge drag.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird, but
I actually heard Calvin's name recently because I interviewed Cameron Mann for the podcast, and he, you know, owns Young Avenue Sound, and he mentioned Calvin's name. What's he like to work with as a producer?
Oh, he's awesome. He's like really, he's so accommodating, and I mean, he's great, like technically in every way. He can make your stuff sound really good, but he's I also just so accommodating is all I can say, and just like willing to try anything and really like try to help you get whatever sound you're going for, no matter how badly you explain it, you know. And he's very good, and he's been touring with Julian Baker. He's been playing bass with her, so that's been awesome for him. It's a pretty cool gig.
Yeah, Cameron mentioned that actually. Is he still coming back and working with folks, or is that his new gig?
I believe he's still working here in between, but I don't know exactly.
Interesting. Well, tell me about writing for someone else's voice. What are the challenges involved in that?
Yeah. I don't know. That's an interesting question. There's definitely like times where I've kind of like memorized like what's the highest comfortable full voice note ever versus like lowest, and you know, kind of as far as trying to write melodies, trying to know where they would actually be comfortable and realistic to do live. Like aesthetically, I feel like our styles and ideas sync up enough that don't really have to worry about it. And a lot of times it's kind of something where like I'll just be playing something around the house a lot, and if she likes it, she'll say something. If she doesn't, she probably won't say anything. So it's, you know, it's kind of it's not really a lot of like formally pitching songs to somebody or something like that. You know, it's just kind of writing riffs and playing around the house.
Who comes up with the melody, or is that both of you, or?
Sometimes, usually her. I mean, she's got a great ear for melodies and harmonies. Just a lot of times, if I do have a musical part first or a background part, I'll have a melody in mind. But I always prefer to see what comes to her mind, before I even, you know, mention, because I don't want to, like, just put a melody out there and then that be the thing that, the only thing she can hear, you know?
Do you work on your own stuff, too, or is Rosie your main thing?
Rosie's the main thing. I mean, you know, I might have, you know, other little ideas that I kind of play around with, but I don't really flesh anything out that much other than Rosie stuff.
Word. Do you guys want to play?
Sure.
Let's do it. Time out. Before we get back to Rosie, I'd like to mention for my Memphis listeners that Back to the Light recording artist Loose Opinions has a show this Friday, October 22nd, at Carolina Watershed. Check out looseopinions.com for more info on that. As always, backtothelight.net is your source for music and podcasts by me and others. To support me and this podcast, visit patreon.com/JDRieger or give us a like, follow, or 5-star review wherever you listen to the podcast. Thank you very much. I sat under your tree until its branches knew. Scratch symbols in me and leaks felt dry and brittle in my lap. I sat under your tree until you drilled a hole right through me and fell down to your knees to drink the sap. You've just heard Tradition from the Rosie album, I'd Move House If My House Moved Like Yours, available now everywhere. Now here's a very special and, if you'll allow me to say so, fairly stunning live performance by Michaela and Will from Rosie.
Oh. We are rolling. Cool, yeah. This song is called My House. It's actually a song that I was telling you about that I'd kind of started writing by myself and then did formally kind of pitch it to Will. So, but it's the newest song that we've put together. So, yeah.
Got cat bones hanging from your ceiling, and you tell me not to worry. It's just for aesthetic. It's not like they're your pets. You've got black mold creeping out your attic, and you swear it's temporary. It's just been a wet week. Be all gone by next week. So quiet, calm, and tucked away. Tired to keep the light away. Well, you should see my house. You should see my house. You should see my house. Should lose it in my house. Got big dogs tearing up your backyard, and they're scaring all the neighbors. They should mind their own business, take care of their own mess. You've got poisonous flowers in your garden, and they're growing ever forward. They cover your front porch, can't see outside anymore. So quiet, calm, and tucked away. Tight to keep the light away. Well, you should see my house. You should see my house. You should see my house. You'd lose it in my. Protect your family, yeah. Playing house won't be so hard. You've got children playing in your driveway, and they're running home at sunset. They go home the long way. They don't walk down my street. Well, you should see my. You should see my house. You should see my house. You'd lose it in my house. You should see my house. You should see my house. You should see my.
My hands are very sweaty. Maybe I'll do a little intro. This song's called Friction. We actually first released it on that little electronic album that we put together called Quarantine Blooms. It's on our Spotify if you want to check it out. But we are working on a full band version of it now that we plan to record for our next release.
some comfort, but then that won't come undone. My stomach still burns with hunger. I will shed you from my skin. Paradoxical undressing, sweating off this sticky film. Frozen tongue still counts my blessings.
We could do Spiral and Clean.
Yeah.
You want to do that? And then the reprise? Yeah, so this is Spiral and possibly Clean. This is the first 2 1.5 songs off of our newest release.
Is all I can be, and all I want is in. I can't trust you to stop trusting me. Spin, spiral, spin, spin, spiral, spin. There's more to good love than a poetic way of speaking, but you know there's nothing more to me. breaking, spin, spiral, spin, spin, spiral, spin. Scary to be clean when all your dirt's still falling from the ceiling. It's scary to be clean, fruitless, bare, and bound to air be empty. It's scary to be clean and dream half-hearted of someone you could have been. It's scary to be clean, and scarier to hold on to your mud. Ain't it thrilling? Oh, don't you feel powerful? How thick the world over your eyes. Don't you feel powerful? Scary to be dry, give up the weight of all the drowning fruit flies. It's scary to be dry, gather dust to soak up all the old rye. It's okay to be dry and grow a garden where nothing but ash lies. I'm ready to be dry and peel away the glaze over my eyes. Ain't it a fail? Oh, don't you feel terrible? How deep the pain? It'll take more than a needle to pierce through my skin. Spin, spiral, spin. Spin, spiral, spin.
Nice. We've never done that one acoustic. Cool.
That was really cool. I got goosebumps.
Thank you.
That's the show. Thank you to Will and Michaela and Rosie. Thank you to Graham Burks for hosting us in your studio. Thank you to Arthur with two H's for the opening theme. Thank you to Joey Pegram for the closing theme. Thank you for listening. For music, news, and episode archives, visit backtothelight.net. And until next time, take care, y'all. Part of the Back to the Light podcast network at backtothelight.net.